In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The word liturgy means the work of the people. What that means is that we are all engaged in the offering of worship. Although the liturgy of the church, particularly the beauty of Cranmer's prayer book and Coverdale's Psalter, inspired what we now take for granted in the theatre, notably Shakespeare's theatre, nevertheless, we engage with the liturgy as participants, not as an audience. This is important because it means that those who have specific roles in the liturgy, including the choir, are not performers on a stage, but involved in the liturgy, in the worship, as much as the congregation. This is particularly true of cathedrals and churches that have a strong musical tradition like ours. It's so easy to think that church music works because we budget money for it, or because we pay professionals to do it well for us. But paying professionals does not always produce the expected results. After all, boys, Noah's Ark was built by amateurs and the Titanic was built by professionals. Our worship is to be a celebration of our incorporation into God's life. And those who are charged with leading the singing of God's people, whether in a tiny parish church in the Catskill Mountains or in a great cathedral here in New York, have at the heart of their ministry the joy of announcing God's presence with his people and the transforming reality of God's presence. At our commencement ceremony yesterday, Mr. Seely talked about joy, didn't he? Joy is powerful. It's a powerful tool because joy actually is a subversive word in a world where people often put themselves first, put others down, where people come to church for the wrong reasons. Remember, I had a lovely old parishioner in East London called Ada. You'd have loved her, boys. And she used to come to church sometimes. She said, "You know, Father, I don't understand why people, when they go to church, they look like they're going to the dentist. And when they go home from church, they look like they've been to the dentist." Baccarat, Rocco, Arthur, Dominic, you have been part of a choir that is at the heart of our worship in this place. You have played your part in announcing the joy of God's presence here in this place. The choir that you have belonged to is part of a great continuum stretching back over time, and it looks forward in hope. Now, year on year, it is never quite the same. Just as each voice of a chorister who joins the choir is unique. But the choir always has the same purpose, to help all of us to worship God better through holiness, truth, beauty, love, surrender, and to the best of our ability as we gather up everything we do in selfless adoration and praise. The 11th rector, Father John Andrew, once said this: "The choir isn't there to silence a congregation into passive acquiescence or to impress. Choirs are there to help us by leading the way so that we can follow gladly, with energy and delight. We find ourselves wanting to do more, making something beautiful for God." Isn't that beautiful? We find ourselves wanting to do more, making something beautiful for God. Bacare, Rocco, Arthur, Dominic, that's the heart of our mission statement. You can read it outside our church and on your leaflet, to worship, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And note that worship comes first in that little list. Over the past few years, you've been putting it into practice. For you and those who have cared for you in the choir school, there's been a wonderful blurred boundary between liturgy, learning, and living. Who needs the three R's when you can have three L's? Liturgy, learning, and living are inextricably linked because you choristers are not just in a residential school, you're in a choir school. But you're not just in a choir school, you're in a church school. But you're not just in a church school, you're in an Episcopal school. Mr. Seeley loves to remind people of that. And he has lived that life for you by way of example. Mr. Seeley has watched you grow in confidence, skill, and motivation. He's helped you engage with the liturgy. He has encouraged you to learn so that you can live out your lives to the full. Bacare, Rocco, Arthur, Dominic. What a wonderful feast day to celebrate your leave-taking. Because the Feast of Pentecost is often described as the birthday of the church. Only a few weeks ago, you were baptized or renewed your baptismal promises and confirmed by Bishop Shin. But notice, you didn't do it on your own. It wasn't the chorister's confirmation service. It happened alongside 20 other people who were also committing their lives to Jesus and his church. Pentecost is a feast of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts to all members of the church. We sometimes call those gifts charisms, because the Greek word charism means grace or gift freely given. On this day, we celebrate the charisms of the Spirit, the grace freely given, the gifts poured out on the church through the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that all who are leaving us today will be filled with that same Spirit to be truly charismatic in the right sense of that word, which puts God first and self-importance second. As you all grow older, boys, you will no doubt have many challenges on the way. As the four of you go to your high schools now, it'll be especially so. You've got difficult choices placed before you, and you will make mistakes, I kid you not. You may even question some of the things that you have thus far professed. But all of those things are nevertheless part of you reaching your full potential. When you have moments like that, moments of doubt, moments of anxiety, moments of worry, listen again to the words of Jesus you heard in our gospel reading today. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." But note, whose peace? "I do not give as the world gives." It's a different kind of peace that Jesus gives. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid." If there are times when you are not successful, remember what I say to all grade 8 boys leaving us for high school. I hope you'll see St. Thomas Church as a kind of second home, a place where you can return, even when things are tough, to discover arms open in welcome. Bacare, Rocco, Arthur, Dominic, when you became choristers, I gave you a hymn book, and I told you that you should not just believe what you sing, but you should practice it in your life. I pray that you will put into practice what you have sung here and the words of our 11th rector, Father John Andrew. May you find yourselves wanting to do more, making something beautiful for God. Or as Mr. Seeley said to you yesterday, remember, boys, joy is an act of resistance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.